In Puerto Rico, a tale of two recoveries. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio. The White House wants from Congress $29 billion in disaster aid for Puerto Rico. As for the recovery effort, there's the official account in which day by day gas lines are shrinking and supermarkets are reopening. But talk to people on the ground and some are seeing little progress. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson is just back from Puerto Rico. What did you hear from people?
People are tired. There's still a lot of shock, a lot of emotion when people are talking about this storm, but even more so its aftermath. So remember, Maria made landfall September 20th, and still less than 10% of people in Puerto Rico have power. Less than half have water. They're struggling to get food, and they say they're just not seeing much aid. I met Roberto Leon from Ponce in the San Juan airport.
Where I live, there's no food in the grocery stores. There's a lot of people, I can see people are getting anxious and maybe getting to that point after 2 weeks that they're not getting any help. In my hometown, I don't see any help.
Roberto's a flight attendant. He's headed to Houston to go back to work. But many, many more people were leaving with one-way tickets. So before the storm, it was often young people leaving Puerto Rico looking for work, going to school. Yesterday, it was striking how many elderly folks were waiting to leave.
Now, while Puerto Ricans are evacuating to the mainland, skilled workers are traveling to Puerto Rico to aid repairs. What can you tell us about the labor shortage there?
I flew down to San Juan with nearly 300 union workers. United Airlines actually donated a flight to get them there. Basically, the mayor of San Juan sent a wish list of sorts to the AFL-CIO for a bunch of skilled workers. We're talking truck drivers, people who can operate forklifts, cranes, nurses, electricians. They're all volunteering their time and hoping that the mayor's office can put them to work for a couple weeks. Miguel Mondesi is a sanitation worker from the Bronx.
At the moment, we have no idea what are we going to do. They asked us if we have experience moving debris, driving trucks, driving heavy equipment.
And he does. He's originally from Puerto Rico, so he's especially eager to help. But this is yet another challenge in this recovery, getting the right people in the right places with the right supplies so that they can get to work.
Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson, just back from Puerto Rico. Thank you.
Thanks, David.
Quick check of the numbers. The 100 share index in London is up 0.2%. Dow and S&P futures are up just slightly about 2.5 hours here before the opening bell. New federal rules on payday lending are imminent. Think loans of $500 or less with fees and higher interest rates. It's a $39 billion industry, and the fight over the new rules has been intense, as Marketplace's Sabri Benishore reports.
Ask a consumer advocate about payday loans.
Payday loans are debt trap products. They charge 300% interest on average, and they cause borrowers significant harm.
Rebecca Bournet is senior policy counsel at the Center for Responsible Lending. Payday lenders argue they are offering a useful and popular service.
40 million Americans rely on small dollar loans to make ends meet.
Trent Duffy is a spokesman for the Community Financial Services Association. So the draft rules governing payday lending were vigorously contested. Rebecca Bournet.
The proposed rule would require lenders to determine a borrower's ability to repay a loan before making it.
Jamie Fulmer is with Advance America. They make small loans. He says the proposed regulations could drive most small lenders out of business.
Creating requirements that are more rigorous, complex than requirements associated with your mortgage or a car loan seem to be taking it too far.
Whatever the final rules are, they may be overturned by Congress. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
If California is a bellwether, keep an eye on this. New legislation on gender and pay. Governor Jerry Brown could soon sign a pair of bills that most women's rights advocates support and many employers, led by the California Chamber of Commerce, cannot stand. Here's Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman.
You might remember this hit by Dolly Parton.
Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living.
In the film from 1980, women office workers take revenge on their male chauvinist boss after he tells the female office manager that the man she trained is going to get a promotion and a big raise instead of her.
I've got 5 years seniority over him.
Look, my hands are tied here. The company needs...
Things have improved since 1980. New pay equity policies have helped drive women's wages from 60 cents for every man's dollar then to about 80 cents now. But progress stalled in the last decade, says Ariane Higoish at the Institute for Women's Policy Research.
Women are outpacing men in education. The differences in time out of work for kids and so on have shrunk quite significantly. So something is wrong.
A new measure in California would require companies with 500 or more employees in the state to report the gap between men's and women's pay for salaried workers by job classification. The state's Chamber of Commerce calls this the Public Shaming of California Employers Act. Here's the chamber's Jennifer Barrera.
The company is going to receive unfair criticism that they're engaging in some type of gender pay discrimination or inequity, when if you look further and got more context, you would see, oh, that's because, you know, of a bona fide factor.
For instance, the company's male employees may have more experience or education, better sales numbers, all legitimate non-discriminatory reasons to pay them more. Laura Cray studies leadership at UC Berkeley, and she agrees the published numbers wouldn't fully explain a gender pay gap, but
what they're aiming to do is look in the aggregate to see if there's a systemic issue with women as a group consistently being underpaid relative to men.
Governor Brown has until October 15th to decide whether to sign the bill. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And I like to warn people about drunk eBaying or drunk Amazoning, but how about a drink away from the computer screen down at the Amazon Bar? Amazon has a pop-up bar in Tokyo's Ginza district for the next 10 days. Sake, beer, cocktails, you know, a bar. All to promote alcohol sales on Amazon Japan, and also Amazon is testing out just about everything. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.